Welcome to Lifelines. This is John Augustine. I live on the outskirts of a city that has a Pulaski Street and a Kosciuszko Street. This is not unusual. Both men were Polish soldiers who came to help George Washington win the Revolutionary War. In any United States city with a significant Polish-American heritage, these men are honored and remembered. Pulaski was killed in battle in Savannah, Georgia, just 2 years after his American service began, while Thaddeus Kosciuszko survived and lived for decades after the war, fighting for Polish freedom. His career is the focus of a biography by Alex Storozynski, titled The Peasant Prince. Peasant is a little misleading, nor was he literally a prince. Kosciuszko's family belonged to the top 10% of Polish society, but his lifelong sympathies were for the disenfranchised, from the Polish serfs to the American slaves. His adjutant during the American War was a freed black man, and when he later led Polish serfs into battle, he wore a peasant robe instead of a uniform to declare his solidarity. Young Thaddeus was enrolled in the Royal Knight School, a military academy where he studied geography, mathematics, and construction, think Army Corps of Engineers. While he would later prove himself a heroic warrior, it was his engineering skills that would contribute most to American independence. For the Battle of Saratoga, Kosciuszko was entrusted with setting up the emplacements, especially cannons, and the American victory there proved the turning point of the war. Afterwards, to prevent the British Navy from coming down the Hudson River to New York, Kosciuszko designed a whole series of defenses at a bend in the river named West Point, including a heavy chain in the river that could be raised to impede enemy ships. It was these plans that the traitor, Benedict Arnold, tried to sell to a British spy. But the British never got through. Later, Kosciuszko would urge George Washington to establish a military academy to train officers, similar to his schooling in Poland. You can guess where it was built. Then Kosciuszko was sent south to the Carolinas, where he designed a fleet of lightweight, portable flatboats for quick strikes and getaways on the shallow waterways. His ingenuity was boundless. He returned to Poland, which was having struggles of its own, foreign and domestic. He'd hoped to become an army officer, but even though he was honored for his American service, Polish officers had to purchase their commissions, and Kosciuszko was broke. He had deferred all his military pay from the Revolution, and the war had bankrupted the American government. Still, he worked and fought to defend and reform his homeland. Poland was still a feudal nation, ruled by an autocratic king, where a handful of aristocrats owned all the land. Inspired by the Americans' victory, Kosciuszko dreamed of liberty and justice for all. At the same time, his country was threatened by its neighbors, particularly the Tsarina of Russia, Catherine the Great, who opposed anyone who championed serfs, on whom her economy depended also. After decades of struggle, Kosciuszko was badly wounded in battle, withdrew from the field, was pardoned by the new Tsar, Catherine's son, who admired him greatly, and tried to negotiate with Napoleon for support of Poland, but unsuccessfully. In his 50s, he returned to America briefly to receive his back pay and visit old comrades. With no family of his own, he drew up his will, with Thomas Jefferson as executor, leaving his estate to purchase and free American slaves and provide them with education and maintenance. His grand scheme was never fully realized, but it shows the heart of the man. He returned to Europe, to Switzerland. Jefferson pleaded with him by letter to spend his remaining days in America and be buried next to himself at Monticello. But Kosciuszko would not return. And when he died, the Tsar sent a carriage to transport his body to Warsaw, where he was entombed beside Polish kings. But his heart was preserved separately in an urn, to be returned to Poland only when his beloved country was free, which finally happened 100 years later at the end of World War I. This program has been Lifelines. I'm John Augustine.